You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of March 21st, 2017, and episode number 307. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. It's kind of weird I'm on the other side of the mic. I guess it's the same side of the mic, but I think you know what I mean. I was a guest last night on the Crypto Kid radio show with host Colin Schneider last night, right here on WCJV. What do you mean you didn't hear it? Shame on you. It was kind of a last-minute thing, but it was a lot of fun. I haven't talked about cryptozoology in a while, so it was really fun to kind of change gears and get back into that zone and mentality. And Colin's a young kid. He's got a ways to grow, but I think he's starting off extremely, extremely well. He's done a great job in his first 2 weeks here on WCJV, doing live radio. It's not easy to do by yourself, so big kudos to Colin and how he's handled it all off. And he's live every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Well, tonight, we talked about this last night, thylacine. I don't want to spoil it for tonight, so I kept this a secret just between you and I. More thylacine reports tonight. And we'll also talk about Columbia goes loony over a crashed UFO. And did you really watch the TED Talk on science and the paranormal? And don't be sensitive. Or does that help you see ghosts? We'll also talk about puzzling ice formations explained. And the flat earthers, well, they're going to gain another athletic supporter. And we'll also have the book of the week. I don't know, a little bit of mayhem somewhere along the line. Got a little surprise for the chat room at the end of the show. Uh-oh, just stirred up some trouble. Well, tonight's episode is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. Metaphysics is actually the scientific study of consciousness, existence, and reality, and includes such topics as theoretical mathematics to quantum physics to cosmology to psychic phenomena. Metaphysical humanistic science, also called metaphysical humanism, is simply our term for the study of metaphysics focused on understanding and enhancing the human condition and all that it encompasses. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. I love reading that one. It's just so much, I don't know, there's a lot to it. Anyway, let's see. Well, I don't think it was Friday, maybe Saturday. I can't remember. The weekend is always a blur for me. I was actually invited out to Oregon to, is that how you say it? Oregon? Anyway, the Oregon Bigfoot Festival. That takes place on August 19th in Troutdale, Oregon. I would love to go there. Unfortunately, I don't usually turn down offers to speak at conventions. But this is a 2,000-mile trip, and I just really didn't think I'd be able to make it out there. Couldn't commit to it. But I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know. I'm very tempted. I mean, this is in the area. It's in the shadow of Mount Hood. It's near the Columbia River, which I love Columbia sportswear, so that would be great. It's just a few hours south of Mount St. Helens and Mount Adams and so many other awesome things to see out there. I'm just talking like sites, not even talking other historical things and whatnots. Man, I think I'm talking myself into going after all. Well, anyway, if you're interested in attending the Oregon Bigfoot Festival, if you're out west, I'm jealous. Well, you can find more information at OregonBigfootFestival.weebly.com. And they're putting that together right now. Well, without me, I guess. But it's also west to Connecticut. Going to Connecticut, speak on cryptozoology. That one's still kind of up in the air. Haven't committed to that yet. It's weird. Like everything is kind of falling into place right now for the year. And it's already March. Well, usually stuff is booked up earlier than this. But anyway, speaking of events, always check out the events listing that I maintain at paranewsinsider.com, the home of the Paranormal News Insider. I do my best. I just saw before I came on the show that I'm a little behind on updating the site. Some of the events have not been crossed off that are already over. Doesn't mean they're still going on, though. Maybe they have an after party. I don't know. But anyway, paranewsinsider.com is, as always, if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here, as well as see it on the website, just let me know. Insider at paranewsinsider.com. That's the old school. Do people even email anybody anymore? I don't think so. But I still like it. I have a Prodigy email address. That's how old I am. Or you can contact me through paranewsinsider.com. I got those one of those fancy form handler type things that are 21st century-ish. Or, you know, Twitter, Facebook, all those fun things. As well. And, oh my gosh, I almost forgot this. The Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. How could I forget about this? It's coming up quickly. I think we're at the 40-day countdown. Eric is really excited. I'm excited, too. This is going to be a lot of fun. May 5th through the 7th, 2017, of course. Farmington, Pennsylvania. Steve Coles, Stan Gordon, myself, our returning speakers, Jay Baterchin, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and author Ronald L. Murphy, as well as John Sable, will also be speaking this year. That's quite a lineup. That's such a diversity of people and backgrounds. It's not just cryptozoologists. I mean, these are some great researchers and great investigators as well. Now, Trapper John Tice from the television show Mountain Monsters was there last year. Had quite a line. Made me really sad because I had nobody visit my table, and there was a line wrapped all the way around the campground to visit this guy. I mean, he's a likable guy, I guess. All the kids were excited to see him. Well, this year, not only will he be back, but another two members of Mountain Monsters will also be on hand. Wild Bill Heff and Huckleberry Joe Lott will be in attendance alongside Trapper John. And if you don't have your tickets, well, shame on you. Why don't you have your tickets? May 1st, online ticket sales will end. Don't miss out. A very small quantity will be available. I don't think you could call it the door because we're going to be outside. I guess available at the table that's going to be right outside the gazebo, I guess. It's a long way of putting that. Benner's Meadow Run Cabins. That's where it's going to be held. And you can get, I think there's still camping spots available. You can stay in a motel. I won't make fun of you. And you may wonder, well, what's the big deal? It's just a bunch of people. We're outside. Well, heck, this is 3 days, two nights, raffles, day and night hikes, workshops, not just speakers, but workshops. We're going to teach you how to do the things that we do. Stuff you don't see on TV, you're going to get to see it live right there outside. And you can participate in this stuff. Cookouts, movies, lots of movies this year. A lot of people coming down for this stuff. See, I can't. Let's see. Small Town Monsters and look at the other guy. There's a whole bunch of people. 3-4 different producers are going to be there showing off their goods, their movies and things. And lots of great people will just be hanging out there. I know quite a few people have told me that they're going to pop in, and I don't want to name names because in case they're not there, I don't want to get in trouble. But there's some pretty big name people that are just going to be popping in and saying hello and walking around. It's going to be really, really interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's also a charitable event. Unity, A Journey of Hope, Lucky Paws Animal Rescue, and Fayette Friends of Animals will all benefit from this. This is all going to local charities, not in anybody's pocket. This is we did a fantastic job last year. I spent a lot of money on the it was a lot of fun. The raffle, it was exciting. I've never really liked raffles and those kind of things where they you know ask for $5 or $10. I never got into that, but I'll tell you what, I was having a ball. And Kenny Biddle and myself and Jay Bajerton and myself were going at it, trying to outbid each other for stuff. And everybody got involved. Everybody was excited. Everybody wanted to win. And it was a lot of fun. Don't miss out. Again, Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure, May 5th through the 7th, Farmington, Pennsylvania, Benner's Meadow Run Cabins. And if you want more information, if I haven't told you enough, there's a lot more to it. It sounds like a lot, but there's a lot more to it. PABigfootCampingAdventure.com. PABigfootCampingAdventure.com. And tell Eric Altman I sent you. Well, that won't really do much. He'd just be happy that I sent you, I guess. So yes, Bigfoot Camping Adventure, Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping. The adventure of a lifetime. That's what it says on the poster. And they also have T-shirts. I got my T-shirt already. I'm wearing it right now. Actually, I'm not. My dresser is wearing it, but personally, I think it should be called Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. It will be intense. You get it? Camping Adventure. You still don't get it. Well, that's okay. I'll keep saying it the next 3-4 weeks. And then right after that, I get, I think like a week off to, kind of wind down from being out there in the woods in case I get hurt or something. St. Albans Sanatorium. I'll be speaking on, I have no idea. Maybe ghosts, maybe cryptids, maybe UFOs, who knows? St. Albans Sanatorium, May 19th and the 20th. That's a Friday and Saturday, just in case. But don't worry, I'm speaking on Saturday afternoon. You have plenty of time. And that's in Radford, Virginia. And the event is called EnigmaCons, E-N-I-G-M-A-C-O-N-S. And you can find more information at, well, EnigmaCons.com. And yeah, I'll be speaking at, I believe 3 p.m. right after a tour of St. Albans. Going to be fun. Really stoked for that. It's going to be a great time. Many people have said, yes, you belong in a sanatorium. Well, I'm going back. I'm going back. Maybe I'll stay. I don't know. We'll find out. Well, why don't we get into some news? That's what you came here for, right? It's what you signed up for. It's what you clicked on the I want to listen to this show link. Is that really what it's called? I don't know. But you're here, and I owe it to you, because that's what the name of the show is, Paranormal News Insider. So let's jump into cryptid news, shall we? We'll throw this link in the chat room here. That's why you're hearing clicks. Now, I mentioned this early at the beginning of the show, thylacine. We talked about it last night. Colin Schneider and I talked about thylacines for like, well, I don't know, half hour. It was a lot of fun. I love the Tassie, the Tasmanian Devil. I really think that these guys have a chance of being found out there in the wild, not by some of the people that claim that they're looking for it. I think some people are looking for the cash grab. But anyway, they're carnivorous marsupials, and they are back in the news again this week. I have not seen this many thylacine stories. I'd say in the last 6 months, there's been more thylacine stories than there has probably been in the last 7 years of the show, to be honest with you. So it's kind of exciting. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the possibility that scientists may attempt to clone the thylacine and bring it back from extinction. In a manner of speaking, I don't think it'll be really the actual thylacine. It'd be kind of a carbon copy. Like if you threw a thylacine into a 3D printer, pretty much. It's not going to act the same. Anyway, granted, we've also heard we've had a lot of stories lately that suggest the thylacine or Tasmanian tiger is alive and well from numerous sightings from Tasmania to the Australian mainland. Some videos popping up, really not conclusive. Well, this week we have another sighting from a former tourism operator who recently stepped forward to share his story. And I was all excited and I was reading the story. Then I found out that his story, unfortunately, comes from 1983. Yikes. 1983, where he was camping on Cape York in Queensland, Australia. Now, I always do this like geography lesson kind of stuff. I like that. It's fun. Now, imagine the oval shape of Australia. Got that in your head? Now, on the upper right side, there's a long, thin piece of land that extends, I guess, up. Now, this is where Cape York, the whole area of Cape York is in northeast Australia. It's a very remote forest. It's very thick and not a whole lot of area there other than woods. And their woods are pretty thick. Now, I've never been there, but I've seen pictures. I've seen videos. And while camping, Brian Hobbs witnessed two adults and two pups in which he described, quote, they were dog-shaped. I had a shepherd with me, so I certainly know what dogs are about. And in the spotlight, I could see they were tan in color, and they had stripes on their sides. These animals, I've never seen anything like them before in my life. Unquote. Well, he was able to get quite close to the animals, and he stated that they paid another visit to their camp before he left the area. Well, that's all well and good. And like I said, I'm really rooting for the thylacine to be rediscovered. I think it's got a chance. Now, a discovery like this would be, I mean, it would be an incredible find, and it would be a feather in the cap of cryptozoologists all over the globe. However, there's always a however, maybe sometimes a but. Thylacines have historically been seen in Tasmania, hence their nickname of Tasmanian tiger, and have not scientifically been documented on mainland Australia in over 2,000 years based on fossil records. The last wild thylacine was shot in 1930, and the last captive one died in the Hobart Zoo in Tasmania in 1936 due to accidental exposure. And that just means he was out in the cold, I guess. Don't go there. Now, despite hundreds of sightings since, no one has been able to conclusively prove that the animal still lingers in the wild. But I'm still pulling for you, Tassie. And again, I'll say it 100 times. I really think that this is the, out of all the big cryptids that are out there, the big name guys. Sorry, Loch Ness Monster. Sorry, Chupacabra. I got to pull for Tassie on this one. It's just how I am. And before I get carried away, we're going to put the link there in the chat room. Wow. There's Dita in the morning in there in the chat room. You can see a picture of her. Actually, that's the thylacine. It's a very long, elongated mouth. It's really neat. If you ever get a chance, look up thylacine and click on videos for them. You can see how they move. They're really strange. They're very different than a fox or a dingo. You're probably not familiar with dingoes, but you've probably seen a fox out there in the wild once or twice. Maybe. I don't know. But they're certainly different. The way they move, different habits that they have are very unique. So when people witness things and they do describe that, it does get the attention of a lot of people. So now we're going to jump to UFO news. Now, this story, I saw pictures of this, I think it was Twitter. I saw some pictures of this late Sunday, I think it was, of what some were describing as a crashed UFO in Colombia. Got my attention. But the images, to me, they kind of look like, I don't know, they kind of look like a satellite to me. And I don't know, it also reminded me of that silly that robot from that movie in the 80s, the number 5, I forget what that was called, that movie. But anyway, it didn't look like, you know, a crash satellite. It just looked like a satellite, like somebody just like wheeled it out of a warehouse or something. It was completely unharmed. So I didn't see how it could be something that fell from above the stratosphere, you know, that high up. It just didn't seem right. Now, others who were posting the story began to state that locals also thought it was a satellite, but I wasn't sure. And I just kind of figured that the truth would kind of just come out sooner or later. And I wasn't going to really waste too much time digging into this particular story, kind of let it unfold because it just seemed too good to be true or too weird to be true. And quite honestly, I kind of forgot about it. But a few days later, it was revealed that the purported satellite was in fact a Google X balloon. Well, these balloons essentially fly in the stratosphere and act as repeaters to extend internet signals to developing areas around the world. Essentially, it just kind of boosts your cell phone internet signal. Kind of cool. I wish I had those over where I work. It'd be great. The balloons are part of what's called Project Loon. And if it sounds familiar about a Google X balloon crashing, it's not the first time. There was one in Sri Lanka last year, and I think maybe a year before that there was another one. It's quite common. These things are crashing quite a bit, but they launch a lot of these things. Incredible rate that they launch these things, and I don't know where they get the money from. And this Project Loon, even the Google X program, is almost classified. They don't really talk about it much. There's not a whole lot of details out there about it. Kind of spooky. I said it. It's kind of spooky. And unfortunately, that's all the UFO news I have. I'm sorry. I know a lot of you love the UFO stuff. Yeah, 2 weeks from now, we'll have the MUFON UFO sighting statistics. So you're going to have 2 weeks. Maybe something big will happen. I don't know. I can't predict the news. I can only report it. But we got a lot of ghost news, which I feel bad. It seems like a lot of people are into the ghost field, but we don't usually get a chance to talk a whole lot about ghost stuff. But this week we have a couple of interesting stories, and I felt that since the ghost news gets neglected, I pulled a book off of my bookcase and almost all my books came crashing down. Of course, it's still a little jittery since Batman was here, kind of messed things up there. But you'll know why in a second when I explain this book as to why everything almost came crashing down. Anyway, we're going to talk about Ted. You know Ted? You know who Ted is? Well, Ted's actually not a person. And it's just a hunch, but I'm willing to bet that most paranormal researchers have never listened to or even watched a TED talk. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, some of you have. Don't get mad. I saw you throw that at the computer. You have. I know you have. Okay. Now, if you're not familiar, but you've heard of TED talks, I'll kind of wrap it up in a couple, like a sentence here. I guess TED stands for, or TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And TED conferences are a nonprofit media organization that creates these talks, educational pieces to be distributed for free. And overwhelming majority of these TED talks are technology. And the next would be entertainment and design. I don't think anyone's ever even watched a design TED talk, anybody, anywhere. Sorry, I had to say it, but, a recent TED talk has received a lot of attention from those in the ghost field who are giddy with excitement that the word paranormal has actually been used in a TED talk. Now, TED talks don't usually talk about stuff like that. What's, you know, we would call pseudoscience. So this kind of got my attention too. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. They don't usually talk about that kind of stuff. Carrie Poppy. Now she's the host, I should say co-host, of a skeptical podcast called Oh No, It's Ross and Carrie, as well as a writer, comedian, and investigative journalist. Or her talk was titled A Scientific Approach to the Paranormal. And like I said, it got my attention, and it obviously got the attention of a lot of people in the paranormal. And actually, this talk took place last October. And in the description of the talk is as follows. Quote, what's haunting Carrie Poppy? Is it ghosts or something worse? In this talk, the investigative journalist narrates her encounter with a spooky feeling you'll want to warn your friends about and explains why we need science to deal with paranormal activity. Unquote. Well, that's intriguing enough and kind of gets you wondering, well, what was her experience? I've seen this shared by a lot of people, especially paranormal groups. And I'm going to throw another guess out there. I don't think that they actually watched the whole 12-minute, 58-second video in its entirety. They might have just read the description here and just thought it was all pro-ghost stuff or pro-paranormal things, but, well, Poppy, who would name their kid Poppy? Anyway, Poppy is a skeptic, and she discusses her personal story that got her into investigating ghosts and related phenomena. Now, she thought she had a ghost as she was experiencing some, I guess, popular things to ghost investigators. She had the feeling of being watched, which continued to get worse over time. She had pressure in her chest that also became worse over the weeks, as well as a feeling of dread. And she became convinced that there was a ghost. And after all this stuff started to kind of pick up, she also began to hear whispers. Yeah, uh-oh, I heard that. Now, her best friend told her to burn sage, right? That's what everyone would do, right? Burn sage, say a couple words, ask whatever it is there, play a leave, so on and so forth. And Poppy said that it didn't make things any better. And she also visited a psychiatrist who also did not help the situation. Now, ultimately, this led her to bring in a ghost group, actually a skeptical ghost group that claimed that every case can be explained by science. And when she talked to the group, they suggested carbon monoxide poisoning as a potential cause. She was a little alarmed by this. And so she looked up the symptoms, went on Google, Google on her phone, wherever she was. She looked up the symptoms to carbon monoxide poisoning, and she was a little frightened here, a little concerned that they actually matched her symptoms of her purported ghost. She called the gas company immediately and asked them to come out, and they came out and indeed did find that the carbon monoxide was present and stated that she could have been dead very soon had she not called. A very alarming story. And this story led her into the idea that every ghost situation can ultimately be explained by science. I know, I just saw you roll your eyes. Now she says, quote, as soon as we have the scientific explanations, we know to give up the ghost. We use these things as stopgaps for things that we can't explain. We don't believe in them because of evidence. We believe in them because of a lack of evidence, unquote. And I really like that quote. I think that's great. It is true to some certain extent. But yeah, I know a lot of people would be a little upset by that. Well, you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And again, in case you missed it, Monday night was Crypto Kid Radio. Hosted by Colin Schneider. I was his first guest. Excited about this. Now, you may or may not know this, but the Paranormal News Insider started on a show that's no longer operating, and not my fault. The show started out on May, I think it was May, of it was a monthly show, and it started out back in 2008, and I was the first guest there, too. So really excited to be the first guest. And there's a whole bunch of shows that I was the first guest, and they only lasted like a couple episodes. So I don't want to mention those guys. Very excited, very, very happy to be there. And granted, you're going to have Ronald Murphy. Ronald Murphy next week. He was supposed to be the guest, the first guest of the Crypto Kid Radio show, but he couldn't make it, which, you know, was no big deal. He'll be back next week. Ron Murphy. Now, he's the author. Sounds familiar. He's the author of On Dogman and On Wildman, which I've reviewed here as the book of the week right here on the Paranormal News Insider before. And he's just released his latest book, On Werewolf. Now, Ron is on. Ron is on. And you can catch Crypto Kid every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And tomorrow night, if that's not exciting enough, after this show, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, you can catch Paranormal Experience with host Kat Hobson as she talks with Greg Pollitt, founder and lead investigator of Paranormal Nights. Paranormal Experience, again, tomorrow night with Kat Hobson and 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, right here, WCJV Radio. ghostsandgoblins.com. So back to ghosts. I love that quote. I'm gonna read that quote again since I broke up the story with that. And it's kind of true. Poppy. Carrie Poppy says, quote, as soon as we have these scientific explanations, we know to give up the ghost. We use these things as stopgaps for things that we can't explain. We don't believe in them because of evidence. We believe in them because of a lack of evidence. Unquote. Well, I guess that's somewhat true, but it is spoken like a skeptic, of course. Now, she also talked to a team, the Independent Investigation Group, that's the actual name of the group, that utilizes testing procedures similar to the ones that the Amazing Randy used to use for the $1 million challenge. The IIG has a $10,000 prize testing clairaudient people for their abilities, their psychic hearing abilities. Now, this story says that the person failed the test, and while the person was sincere, they recommended that he get professional help. Ouch. While she's obviously a skeptic, she does have the attitude of maybe the next case that comes along will prove her wrong, and that she holds out hope that maybe ghosts do exist. Well, I don't know. I think that was all for show. But you be the judge. You watch it yourself. It's 12 minutes, well, almost 13 minutes. And on that, kind of being skeptical and kind of holding out a little bit of hope, she does say, quote, every cure for cancer so far has not panned out, but we don't stop looking, unquote. Well, if you do watch the TED Talk, one recommendation, do not, whatever you do, do not, and I probably shouldn't tell you not to do this because I know what you're going to do. You're going to do it anyway. Don't read the comments section at the bottom. It is horrible. It's like a battle royal of skeptics versus believers, and they're trying their best to sound intelligent. I mean, it is a TED Talk, but they're, oh my gosh, it's just horrible. They're not doing much more than layering insults underneath and on top of their own personal perspectives. But do watch the video. It's interesting. And, well, I'll put the link in the chat room, and you guys can save that for later or watch it. I don't know. Maybe I'm putting you to sleep. I don't know. There it is. And you can, obviously, if you're not in the chat room, I do put these links out during the week through my Facebook site, which is also linked to Twitter. So Paranews Insider, look for it on Facebook and Twitter and or Twitter, which I don't know preference. Some of you guys even use MySpace, I think, right? No? I hope not. So I don't know. Social media, it's out there. You got to do that nowadays, but you can get all the links to these stories. You don't have to necessarily be in the chat room. It would be a lot of fun if you were, but you don't have to. I won't hold it against you. If you got things going on and you're listening to this on Thursday or Friday, it's kind of creepy, but thank you anyway. That's good. But by then you should have most of the links out to the stories. I usually only do like 5 or 6 stories a week. I don't want to go on and on. We concentrate on the good stuff here. And speaking of good stuff, this next story is good stuff. Came out about, that's a few days ago, I guess. I can't remember exactly when it came out, but from a good friend at hauntedtheories.com. Now, are you more prone to ghost encounters? Some people might say, well, yeah, I'm psychic. Of course. Well, that's what the folks over at hauntedtheories.com are asking you. Now, is this another blog about psychics and mediums? Nope, not exactly. Now, the article is actually about environmental sensitivity. I wasn't sure. I had a feeling. And when I started reading it, I kind of had a feeling. I knew where it was going, only because I know him. Now, environmental sensitivity is a controversial topic where it's thought that many people are affected by electronics much more than the rest of us. And I say it's controversial because a lot of people, a lot of scientists say it's not true. It doesn't exist. It's all psychosomatic. It's all in your head. It's not real. But the problem with that is there are real symptoms. People are really suffering. People are really having these things happen to them. So how do you explain that? You know, I know the mind is a powerful thing, and we can make our bodies do strange things by just concentrating on stuff. But yeah, I'm not sure. And with most things, I'm kind of in the middle of this, but I don't know. I would lean toward a little bit more toward that it's factual. I mean, I've not experienced it myself personally, but I've been involved in some cases where we've adjusted certain things in the environment that were electronic, and it actually altered everything. Now, whether that was psychosomatic or we did it and it was just they believed that it was going to fix things, or it actually did it because we altered the environment, who's to say? But too many times it's happened that I've witnessed it. Now, hauntedtheories.com mentions Michael Jauer, who has studied environmental sensitivity and how it affects human behavior quite a bit. You could pretty much call him the expert on this. He has noted that those who claim to have environmental sensitivity reported experiencing a higher number of paranormal and apparitional experiences during tests. Now, Brandon Masullo, the brains behind hauntedtheories.com, then begins to describe an experiment that he set up at Mary King's Close in Edinburgh, Scotland. He shares his dissertation, which is titled Environmental Sensitivity and Paranormal Experiences, before turning the lights off. Well, I guess ending the article and leaving us on a cliffhanger. And his dissertation, it can be found on Academia, and I'll put that link also in the chat room. Very interesting. And part two of this article, which is forthcoming, hopefully I'll have it next week. It's going to discuss his results in greater detail. It's a great read, and I was already a believer in his work before I even read his research. And I read this a number of years ago. And, you know, I said Michael Jauer is pretty much the expert on it. Well, Brandon is pretty close, even just with this one experiment. But it's very well thought out, very well planned out. And the information is as true as a scientific experiment as you're going to get. We'll talk about more of that hopefully next week. And also talk about some of my cases that also I've witnessed myself, how changing environmental factors potentially had an effect on the clients themselves. But again, we don't know if it was just the suggestion or was the actual physical environmental change that caused these things. We really never know. But either way, the client was helped in those situations. And if we can understand that more, who knows what that could lead to? Understanding ghosts, I guess, would be the ultimate thing. Or even understanding consciousness for that matter. If there's some sort of link from the environment. I don't want to get carried away. We'll just have to wait to see what hauntedtheories.com has to say. Before I get too carried away, let me put the link in the chat room for you guys to gnaw on. And that's actually going to lead us to the book of the week. And the book of the week, I've had to lift some weights to lift this book. Probably, ouch, just got a bruise on my leg. This is probably the largest book on ghosts ever written in the history of ghosts and the history of writing. I don't think there's any book bigger than this. And if you probably already know what book I'm talking about, because I think pretty much everybody and anybody that likes ghosts or into ghosts or ghost stories has this book on their bookcase or has their patio door wedged open with this book or chalked their monster truck with this book. And this book comes from Hans Holzer. You probably already know where I'm going with this. And let me get that in the chat room before I get too carried away. The people in the chat room, you know, they get this this information before you do. So they already know the book of the week and you don't. I know that sounded bad, but that's a little benefit. It's a little perk. So here is the cover. And usually when I do it in the chat room, I keep it small, but it's big on purpose because this is a big book. And yes, it's that book, Ghosts, True Encounters with the World Beyond, Haunted Places, Haunted Houses, and Haunted People by Hans Holzer. It's huge. I mean, it's huge. It weighs like 30 pounds. It's huge. I almost had to hire some movers in here to help me. Now, Hans Holzer, sadly, he died in 2009. And he was aged 89, wrote a lot of books, tons of stuff. And this book here has a lot of his earlier writings. It's all just kind of jammed into this book. And contrary to popular belief, I want to clear up this misconception. He did not coin the term ghost hunter. People keep saying this. He didn't do it. This was already done by Harry Price on the front cover of a book, no less, that was titled Confessions of a Ghost Hunter. Holzer was also involved in this case. I don't know, maybe you've heard of this, the Amityville Horror. Amityville Horror? Ring a bell? Amityville Horror? Nope. Okay, well, I don't know where you've been. Back in 1977, he kind of made some vague yet outrageous claims about Indian burial grounds. Kind of, I don't know, a little strange. But anyway, this book, yeah, it's huge. It's, let's see, over, find the end of this thing here, 760 pages. Now, that may sound like a lot of pages, but I'm telling you what, if you open this book probably has the smallest print of any book I've ever read in my life. So the print was normal size, a normal size font, this book would probably reach 1,000 pages easily. Easily. There's that much information jammed into this 15-pound behemoth of a book. Now, this book was published, I don't know, should have wrote that down, 1997, and it was available on paperback in 2004. And there is just so much in here. He does explain a lot of things early on in the book, the first couple of chapters. Then he gets into some famous ghosts, a whole bunch of chapters. And he is from the United Kingdom, but he does have a lot of United States stuff in here as well. So don't worry. You're not gonna get berated by UK things, if you live in here in the United States that you don't understand, because there is a very good mixture, a nice blend of stuff from all over, pretty much United States and United Kingdom, mostly United Kingdom, but it's a lot of stuff you probably heard of. Haunted people, haunted places, poltergeists, ghosts and art, and another chapter on psychic photography, which I'm not a fan of. Now, Hans was kind of a, what I would call a true believer. He really believed in this stuff. Just look for the word ghosts on the spine. It's huge. You're not going to miss it. It's not hard to find. Or check out Amazon.com as well. Now, in other news, we're going to go to Iceland. And I've decided to commandeer the WCJV helicopter, and we're all going to fly to Iceland, because I really wouldn't want to see this. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if you've seen this story. It's really cool. A strange formation on the ice at Thingvellir National Park. Well, it's got people baffled. I mean, that's what happens in the paranormal. People get baffled. And I saw this, and I was a little baffled myself. I've never seen anything like this, exactly like this, that's so large. And many in the park and photographs of this strange thing. It's like a jigsaw, or I guess like puzzle pieces kind of cut in the ice. And they're huge. And it's kind of difficult to describe logically when you first see them. It's just weird. Now, park official Einar A. Sandmundsson told the Lomia, quote, on March 9th, someone noted a strange-looking pattern on the ice sheet that locals had not seen before. The linear and perpendicular pattern is more than 2 kilometers, or about 1.2 miles, out into the lake. The lines did not form in the same area as other known cracks in the ice. Now, speculation started, and there was no shortage of alternative explanations, from alien activity and unknown monsters in the lake to strange conspiracy theories, unquote. Why not? Well, despite the speculation and the impossibility of guessing a logical cause at first glance, they actually have a verified cause. No, it wasn't aliens or it wasn't a UFO or a sea serpent making strange shapes in the ice. It wasn't a crop circle or anything like that. It's a phenomenon called finger rafting. I know it sounds weird. Finger rafting. And this is going to be pointless trivia somewhere down the road for you. I know. It will be for me, too. Now, finger rafting has been recorded in the Arctic and the Antarctica region. And it's essentially when ice comes together, similarly to when you fold your fingers together out in front of you. You put your fingers through each other and all the way through. I see you doing it. I see you doing it. Everybody try it. Just get it out of the way. Okay, good. John Wetlaufer, professor of geology and geophysics at Yale University, discovered this in 2007 during experiments, on figuring out how this happens. Wetlaufer explained, quote, a surprising pattern, much like the meshed teeth of a zipper, is frequently seen when floating ice sheets collide, unquote. And John Sherwood, American Physical Society, explains, quote, because the floating sheets are slightly flexible, each responds by developing a series of ripples or corrugations spreading out from the initial point of disturbance. It's something like what happens as you haul yourself onto a wide air mattress in a swimming pool. The sections next to rise up as you pull down, and the sections beyond them slump down again, unquote. It's a lot of like visualizations here with this story. So you might want to check out the picture to kind of put all this into perspective. And no matter how you explain it, it's still pretty cool. It's pretty neat to look at. I mean, it almost looks hoaxed, but there's a rational explanation. It's pretty, pretty cool. And let's see, did I put that link in there? I'm pretty sure I did. Yes, I did. All right. Just want to make sure. Okay. So that being said, here is the, I don't know what I'd call it. Not so fun story of the week, I guess. Kind of the agitating, irritating, annoying story, but it needs to be told. It needs to be told. Now, I covered a related story back on February 21st, and that would be episode 303, if you're counting at home. And I hope that this would be the last time I would have to talk about this. But just like spring and orange barrel season, it's popped up once again. Now, on the February 21st show, we talked about Cleveland Cavaliers point guard Kyrie Irving, who made a statement during a radio show that he felt the earth was flat. Flat. Wow. Well, many people laughed it off, like teammate LeBron James and foe Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors, even Wilson Chandler of the Denver Nuggets, and the last two that I mentioned there, Chandler and Green, actually backed up Irving's thought on the flat earth. Not even a theory, hypothesis or dream or whatever you want to call it. Now, many people, including NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, thought Irving was, just spoofing, making fun of it, making fun of fake news or alternative facts. Well, I guess you didn't see that. If you were sitting in here with me, you'd see that I did air quotes around alternative facts. But Irving has made his position clear once again. He appeared on the same show that he did initially, Road Trippin' Podcast with Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye. That's where this whole mess started. To proclaim once again that he does think that the earth is flat. But that's not the news. Oh, no. There's another, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, another athletic supporter. Get it? Anyway. Now, former NBA player, current NBA analyst, holder of a Bachelor of Arts in General Studies from LSU, a Master's in Business Administration from the University of Phoenix, and a Doctor of Education degree in Human Resource Development for Barry University, a Sheriff's Deputy, artist of 5 rap albums, and star of the movies Blue Chips and Shazam. Also a former professional wrestler, and might I add, former Cleveland Cavaliers player Shaquille O'Neal has come forward on his podcast. Maybe you know him from Buick commercials. I don't know. He's that big, tall guy that squeezes into those funny-looking cars. Now, did I mention He also hosts his own podcast. So I guess he's a podcast host. Well, that's cool. Add that to his little list of accomplishments there. Now, he did that to declare that he agrees with Kyrie Irving that the earth is definitely flat. Now, as only Shaq could do, if you've ever listened to Shaq, he tends to stick his, I don't know what size shoe he wears, pretty big, probably like, I don't know, 15 or something, sticks it in his mouth quite a bit. He did a pretty good job here as well. As only Shaq could do, he described his thoughts by saying, quote, "It's true. The earth is flat. The earth is flat. Yes, it is. Listen, there are three ways to manipulate the mind. What you read, what you see, and what you hear. In school, first thing they teach us is, oh, Columbus discovered America. But when he got there, there were some fair-skinned people with the long hair smoking on the peace pipes. So what does that tell you? Columbus didn't discover America. So listen, I drive from coast to coast, and this is flat to me. I'm just saying, I drive from Florida to California all the time, and it's flat to me. I do not go up and down at a 360-degree angle and all that stuff about gravity. Have you looked outside Atlanta lately and seen all these buildings? You mean to tell me that China is under us? China is under us? It's not. The world is flat." Unquote. I got to get a T-shirt that has all that on it, because that is by far the most baffling thing I've ever heard anyone ever say. And I had to edit myself there as I read that, because he does swear in that. So, I mean, how can you argue that? It's such a powerful statement. I mean, inquisitive thought. 360-degree angle? China's under us? I mean, just brilliant thinking. I mean, how can you disagree with his scientific analysis? I mean, he is an analyst on, for the NBA. I mean, what's next? Science, right? But you never know. I mean, with Shaq, he sometimes he says stuff just to say stuff to get attention. And it could be just about getting some love and attention for his show. And I didn't know he had a podcast. Well, now the world knows. Or it could just be Shaq being Shaq. But this, I'm telling you, this whole flat earth thing, it's got to stop. Simple observations nearly 2,300 years ago validated the round earth theory. It's not just a theory. Theory doesn't mean that it's maybe true. Theory is something that's verified. And it was considered the leading theory for about 2,500 years. And I know what you're thinking. I saw that. I know what you're thinking. Many people think that people were burned at the stake or otherwise tortured or killed for believing the earth was round. That never happened. That's not true. And didn't even happen for people who thought the earth is flat, for that matter, although I'm kind of torturing these guys through my own radio program. Well, flat earthers have made so many really silly ideas surrounding their belief system. It's never really going to be possible to convince many or really probably any of them of the reality. But I have an idea. Short of launching them into space, and then at that moment that they see the curved edges of Earth, they're probably going to say, but that's the glass making it look round. Well, then you open up the door and you push them out. And maybe, just maybe, during their 4-minute free fall back to Earth, they'll come to realize that they were wrong. I mean, it's not hard, kids. All you have to do is look up at the moon. Look up at the moon. You see that little shadow? That's Earth. That's Earth making that shadow. It's not Earth, but it's making that shadow. Have you ever watched the ship sail off into the horizon? It disappears. Why does it disappear? It's going around the curvature. You can't get it driving in a car. And if you're in a plane, some planes don't go high enough to see that, but I've seen it. I mean, I've been on ships, I've been on boats, I've seen land pop up. Wow, it's just amazing. I mean, your own observations. And it's funny because they say that they make their own observations, which validate to them that the earth is flat. But to me, I mean, I don't trust anybody. You guys probably know this. I do my research. Even as a kid, I realized this is a big marble we're on. And, you know, I would also mention as things to back this up. The hundreds of photographs taken of the Earth from various vantage points in space. But according to the flat earthers, this is their biggest piece. This is what explains everything away. All those photographs, you know, they just had this really miraculous one of the backside of the moon showing the Earth. I think it was beautiful. It almost looked faked, but it wasn't. It was real. It's because we've never seen it before. It's beautiful. But according to flat earthers, NASA is part of one giant conspiracy of making all the space pictures of Earth having a curve instead of showing the real flat Earth. Oh boy. I just can't even, I still can't understand that. The more I think about that, it just hurts my brain. It really does. I don't even know what to think. With that, that's all I got, kids. That's all I got tonight. That's all I got this week. I gotta go rest my mind from this flat Earth thing. I don't even know what to think. As far as next week is concerned, hopefully I'll have part two of that HauntedTheories.com article. I don't know if it's out. I didn't really look yet, but I was worried about getting part one out to you guys. I like cliffhangers. I like two-parters. I don't usually do that here. But I don't know, maybe just to get you guys back next week. I'm sure you'll be back. I know Dita will be back. She better be. And, yeah, I'm going to put something else in here in the chat room here in a second. As I do my little outro that I do every week. And big thanks to Cindy, my producer. We had a little hiccup or three or four tonight, and she did a beautiful job of fixing everything. Hopefully you don't even notice if you're listening in on the archive. That's why I'm here. That's why I love somebody helping me produce this show, to make me sound better, make the show sound better. And everybody that showed up in the chat room, appreciate you guys. Paul and Dita and Cheryl and Kat in there as well. And anybody else that I missed that popped in, popped out. I don't always watch. I know we got to do a Q&A or something sometime. It's a lot of fun. I like being a guest on the show because then I get to hang out a little bit more in a chat room, not worried about all my notes and making sure I'm on the air and all these other things that are going on. But anyway, thank you anyone who's listening to the show live or otherwise. Well, hopefully you're live. And if you're live, I hope to see you next week. And in the meantime, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.